Playing Through with Froggy and Wacker.
It's another edition of the Playing Through podcast. Thank you so much for listening at Froggy Radio on Twitter and Instagram at Brian Wacker 1 on Instagram and Twitter as well. Or hit us up on the podcast. It's at Playthrough Golf on Twitter. So today's episode, we are going to talk to three-time major champion winner, Brooks Koepka. Now, Brian, who's actually here, well, we're getting ready to post this, it was actually not able to be here. Wacker wasn't here. We were doing the interview because he's got lots of assignments from Golf Digest,
right? That's right. The day job calls sometimes, so was actually tied up. So, Froggy, you took the tough task of sitting down with the three-time major winner and world number two and winner of two of the last three major championships, of course, including the PGA Championship, which, as we all know, moves from August now to May this year at Bethpage Black. So Brooks will be your defending champion there at a golf course really that should suit him very well.
Yeah.
He's only played there once. The U.S. Open, of course, was there twice back in 2002 and then 2009. And then, of course, the PGA Tour FedEx Cup event, the Barclays, now the Northern Trust, was played there in 2012 and 2016, I believe. And so Brooks, I believe, only played there in 2016.
Right. He's only played there once.
Right. But again, a golf course, big ballpark, a place that should suit a guy with his skill set. I mean, look, you look at his major championships. Here's what's interesting to me is that he's won on three very different venues.
Yeah, right? Aaron Hills
with fairways that were 70, 80, you know, yards wide and played very soft. And
Shinnecock.
Very attackable. Then Shinnecock, which he showed a lot of nuance and a lot of different skills in winning there.
And then Belle Reve.
And then, of course, Belle Reve, which was sort of an odd, just a quirky golf course is kind of the way I would really put it. But he bludgeoned it. And the thing that impressed me about Belle Reve, by the way, was a lot of people talked about not hitting driver that week and three woods and long irons and so forth. And he just went and played his golf in what he thought would work best, and it did.
He overpowered the golf course.
I mean, when you drive it as far and then as straight as he did that week, you know, there aren't really many golf courses that are not going to work out well for him.
Right.
And of course his wedge play, and then of course his putting as well. So an impressive year last year for Brooks, the PGA Tour Player of the Year last year. I know he'll be honored by the Golf Writers Association as well for that honor as the Male Player of the Year at our upcoming annual awards dinner for the GWAA during the week of the Masters. So he will be honored for that, of course, well-deserved. Two-time major winner last year. Didn't win anything else, but really, let's be honest, I think it was JT, Justin Thomas, at one point tweeted, you know, when there was sort of some debate of course, when Francesco Molinari had his great run in the Ryder Cup and had a really good year, obviously winning the Open Championship, there was some question or you know thought being thrown around that like, oh well, you know, could somebody else unseat him as Player of the Year? Really?
No.
You win two majors. I'm sorry, you don't need to win anything else. And by the way, it's not like he played poorly the rest of the year.
Correct.
And he also missed the first few months of the season.
Yeah, and he missed the Masters last year.
Missed the Masters as well. So he won two of the three majors he played in, which is pretty damn good.
And
so,
he's won three of the last six that he's played in as well.
Right. So you had a chance to sit down with the three-time major champion, and let's go to that now.
All right, we're here with Brooks Koepka, three-time major champion. Brooks, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the podcast. So I know you're talking about the PGA Championship coming up at Bethpage Black, but let's go back and talk about Aaron Hills, Shinnecock, Belle Reve. What does it mean to be a three-time major champion on the PGA Tour at such a young age?
Well, it's incredible. You look at the guys that have won three majors. I mean, it's a short list. And it's incredible to add my name to that. Hopefully build on that. And, you know, when you get to four, it's a whole lot shorter.
I mean, even when you talk about guys that have won the U.S. Open and the PGA Championship in the same year, you're in the list with only four other guys. You're talking Tiger, Jack, Hogan, and Gene Sarazen. I mean, you are in a list of those four names, the only guys to win a U.S. Open and a PGA Championship in the same year. And last year, you only played three of the majors. You've won three of your last six. I mean, that really is unheard of. We haven't seen a run like that since I know Rory had his little run for a little while. Tiger had his run.
But I mean, it really has to be special to play and peak at those certain times of the year. Do you try and plan your schedule so that you do peak at the right time?
Yeah, I think it's all about planning and the preparation you put in. You know, we try to play the week before the majors. You know, the majors kind of have a different atmosphere on the golf course, obviously, but off the golf course too. It's got a little different feel. It kind of take a little bit more more serious, more importance. And it's fun. I enjoy that. I enjoy getting on the big stage and playing, and I think that's what I thrive off of.
Going back to last year at Belle Reve, did you ever, you know, growing up as a kid and playing golf and you're playing with your friends and you're playing on your own and as you're playing collegiately, did you ever think to yourself that one day you would beat Tiger Woods in a major championship on the PGA Tour?
That's kind of funny when you put it that way. I never really looked at it like that. Yeah, I mean, I dreamed of it. I don't know if I ever thought it might come true.
Right. I mean, it really came down to you and Tiger. I mean, pound for pound. And he said when it was over, he said, I didn't play bad, but there was absolutely nothing I could do. Brooks was pounding the ball down the middle, hitting amazing shots. The shots you hit on 17 and 18, I mean, just unbelievable to know that you could stand toe-to-toe. Did you know where Tiger was as you're coming down and playing those last two holes? Had you looked at a leaderboard? Had your caddy told you? Did you know where you stood?
Oh, yeah, I knew where I stood. I look at the leaderboards all the time. I think it's kind of fun to watch them and see where you stand and try to put some pressure on guys. I mean, it's hard not to know where he's at. I mean, you can hear the roars. You can hear the fans. You know what he does before anybody else does. It's kind of got that Augusta National feel with the roars. You know what's exactly who it came from, where it is, and what's going on. And you just can't let it get to you. You just got to keep doing your thing, and you try to make your own little roar back, and hopefully he hears it. I mean, right. It's funny because you laugh. You're watching, you know, you're kind of watching what he does because he's playing the group in front. And, I mean, there's 10 times more people watching him than there are watching me and Scotty in the back.
You know, it's funny. Are you affected by the crowds? Like, you've played with Tiger, I'm sure, and you've played in the group before him or the group behind him, and then you've played not around him at all. Do the crowds affect you more when you're playing with him or when you're playing, say, right in front or of behind him?
It doesn't bother me when I'm playing with him. I enjoy it. I mean, obviously, they're all there to cheer on him, and they could care less how I do, you know, as they should, because if I was going to a golf tournament to watch, I'd be there to watch him. So I get it. You know, I'm understanding of that. I think probably the toughest place to play is right in front of him. That's quite difficult because you got all these fans that are trying to run up in front and get a good spot so they can watch, you know, the shot come in or the tee box, and they're always moving, trying to get in position. So that's kind of the toughest place to play when he's around.
With the PGA Championship being at Bethpage Black, have you played Bethpage Black? I know you've played it once in a tournament round, but have you played it other times?
No, I've just played it. You know, we had the FedEx Cup playoffs there in 16. So it's been, you know, it'll be just almost 3 years since I've seen it. And, you know, hopefully get up here. I don't know whenever the schedule allows to come up and check it out again and get a good game plan and figure out where we think we can take advantage of some places. But, I mean, it'll be different playing it in May. The golf course will be a lot different than we played it, I think, in August in 16.
With all the rule changes that have gone on this year, there's so much talk about, you know, many different rule changes. Are you a guy that will never putt with the flag stick in? Do you like the flag stick in rule, and would you use it? Do you think it's an advantage?
I mean, I guess the studies say that it is an advantage. I used it in Hawaii. I think we're in last place, so I was like, well, this is probably or pretty close to it. I was like, this is a good time to experiment, but I don't like it in. I mean, I've played golf for 20 some years now with the pin out, and I've got accustomed to looking at the hole without it. So it's kind of a different look, and I'm not a big fan of it. But I mean, some of the rule changes are nice. Some of them are a bit absurd, though.
What do you think about the drop rule? I mean, me personally, I think you should be able to drop it from shoulder height, anywhere from shoulder to knee height, because for a tall guy, like you're a tall guy, I don't know if your hands go all the way down to your knee, you have to like kneel awkwardly. It just looks weird. Where are you on the drop rule?
Yeah, I wouldn't consider myself tall, especially after the last day. been around some of these NBA guys, feel quite tiny, but yeah. It's, I just think you should place it. If I'm home and I hit one in the hazard, I'm placing it. I'm
right.
dropping the ball on the ground, rolling it with the club, putting it on a good lie. So, you know, I think if they want to speed up the pace of play, I think that's why not just place it? They're worried about the ball rolling, two club lengths outside of where you drop it, and it's easy. It's not going to roll if you place it.
Did you watch any of the waste management this past weekend with Ricky?
I did not. I was on a plane flight back from Saudi Arabia, so I did not get a chance to see any of it.
Well, I don't know if you've heard. So at one point, he hits one in the hazard. He was one. He was two in the hazard. Ball rolled in. He then drops his third. Ball is technically in play. He has not hit it. He goes to walk up on the green to see how much room there is between the pin and the bunker. And as he's standing on the green to look, the ball rolls back into the water. Technically, that ball is in play. It's back in the hazard. And it's another stroke.
Yeah, I did happen to see that. It's crazy. Something had to make that ball move, whether it be the rain. It was obviously still at one point, and so something caused it to move. I mean, it's just bad luck and unfortunate timing is all that is. I mean, I'm glad he was able to pull it out and not let that bother him and pull out a W because he's super nice guy. Everyone loves him, and, you know, we're all happy for him.
Yeah, it was cool to see him get the victory after that happened. He had a double a couple holes before that. But speaking of Saudi Arabia, you were there. Were you around any of the Sergio Garcia mess?
I did happen. I mean, obviously, I saw him in the locker room. I had no idea. I played in front of him. I think two groups in front of him on Saturday. And I saw him in the locker room. I didn't know what was going on at the time. I had just gotten done, grabbed lunch, and came in and saw him cleaning out his locker. Didn't really think anything of it. It's frustrating as a player to act like that. The disrespect to everybody, to act like a child out there is not it's not cool. It's not setting a good example, and it's not cool to us. Showing us no respect or anybody else.
Yeah, I mean, the guys playing behind him didn't have to putt on those greens. I saw there is a video I've seen of him in the bunker the day before when he had a meltdown in the bunker, and then the green damages were the next day. Now, I haven't seen any of the green damages, but they said that other players did experience some problems putting on the green because Sergio had gotten upset. I don't know if he wasn't playing well. I don't know if he didn't like the golf course. Were the golf course conditions not good, or is it just a simple fact of he just wasn't playing well?
I mean, Dustin didn't have a problem with it.
No.
Dustin didn't have a problem with it. So,
he did not.
That's just Sergio acting like a child. I mean, it's unfortunate, that he's got to do that and complain. Everybody's got to play the same golf course. So,
right.
You know what? I mean, I didn't play very good, but you didn't really see anybody else doing that. And
no.
I mean, you're 40 years old, so you got to grow up eventually.
Speaking of the trip you were on, I would be negligent to our listeners if I did not ask about the fabulous vacation that you took with Dustin, Paulina, and Jenna to the Maldives. And at some point, somebody talked you into putting on a thong and posting it on Instagram. I must know whose idea was this.
I didn't post it, for the record. No, I didn't post it.
You did not post it. Jenna did.
Yeah, Jenna posted that. Yeah, I don't know, man. I just like to have a good time. We're on vacation trying to make people laugh. And, they were all kind of inside, and I brought a couple different pairs. and I felt that purple was the way to go at that point. So, I brought a Speedo and a thong, and I thought the thong would get everybody laughing and, kind of lighten up. I think it was only the second day we were there.
Right.
So, I definitely thought I was an Instagram model. At
yes.
that point, so,
I didn't see the final results of the poll. Did you win? Who wore it better, or did Jenna win? I'm going to take a guess that Jenna won, but I didn't see the results.
Yeah, I think I hope so, because I saw the picture. I hope I didn't win.
No, good deal. Well, Brooks, thank you so much, man. Best of luck to you this year. I know we've got the Masters coming up. We got the Players coming up first with the big schedule changes. What do you think of the schedule changes with the Players being up front and then with the majors being moved around? We've got one a month. Are you a fan of all the changes that they've made?
I love it. I think it's great. I think, it gives us a little more time off. It is an all-year sport. But, if you get hot for 3 months from the middle of March till, you know, end of June. I mean, you could rattle off four majors in a players. I mean, right. I think that's fun. You know, if you get hot at the right time, you're going to see some good golf, and guys are going to have a real good chance at winning all four. And I think going forward, it'll shorten the season for us, which is nice. You know, really get us focused in. You know, you have your time off with your family or whatnot, and then come back to work, and you just grind it out for those 4 months. And I think it could be very, very exciting. As a fan, I'd be excited to watch.
Yeah, I like some of the changes. Now, I know you're in New York now. You'll be headed back to Florida because that's home. Where will we see you again on the tour?
I'm playing again in 2 weeks in Mexico. Mexico will be the first time, and then going to play in the Honda, which would be nice. You know, hometown event.
Right.
Live there now, so it's always fun to play that event. I enjoy it. You know, get a bunch of friends, family, getting everybody out, and then Bay Hill, and then Players. So right off four in a row there, which is
wow.
Not something I do very often. But
no,
I'm excited about it. I mean, it's Florida. Florida swing, know the grass. You know, something I'm comfortable with, and a week home doesn't really feel like a week on the road.
Right, exactly. And speaking of playing in Florida, I don't know if you also saw over the weekend, Tiger Woods and Jack played with President Trump at Trump Jupiter. If an invitation, and maybe it has been, and I'm not aware of it, if an invitation was extended to you from our president to play golf with him, would you do it?
Yeah, it's been extended a couple times. He's canceled on me once. He had something come up, and I've canceled on him a couple times. I've had some things come up, so it hasn't worked out, unfortunately. You know, I'm looking forward to playing golf with him. I'm sure we will at some point. So hopefully, in the next coming months, we can finally figure out a time that works for both of us and get in there and play some golf.
Good deal. That would be awesome. Well, congratulations, Brooks. 3 major championships. Hope you add to it this year. If you'd like to get to the PGA Championship at Bethpage Black, just outside of New York, go to pga.com/tickets. Get your tickets for all the information. It's pgachampionship.com. Brooks, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. Congratulations on your 3 major championships, and good luck this year.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
All right, there you have it. Brooks Koepka, 3-time major champion. Sounds like he's ready to have a good season, and some interesting takes there from him on Sergio Garcia and his behavior in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, he didn't hold back there, which was fascinating. And look, Brooks is, we all know, has never really been one to mince words or not share his opinion.
I agree with him, by the way. I agree with him. There's absolutely no place for somebody to act. I mean, that's like the way you see a 12-year-old act when he's trying to learn how to play golf. You've seen the video from the bunker the day before.
Right.
I mean, you would think if you acted that way the day before, that the next day you would have said, hey, I can't act that way again. Whether it's your sponsors or whether it's your family that you're representing or yourself or whatever it is. But then to go back out there the next day and destroy what we've all heard to be 2, 3, 4, or 5 greens. I mean, I don't know what he did on the greens. I haven't seen any videos. But what I saw in that bunker is enough to tell me that something else is going on with Sergio.
Yeah, and look, we don't know if there are other things going on in his world that maybe affected his mood or attitude, but either way, look, he's 40 years old, he's a major champion, he's a father, but he's got a long history of temper tantrums. It's not the first time we've seen this from Sergio.
No, he got upset at the players that 1 year because Tiger pulled a 3-wood out of his bag while he was hitting.
Well, look, that's one thing, but you know, we've seen him
spit in the cup
before, which is really deplorable in my opinion. And look, he apologized for it. This is a guy who he lets his emotions take over sometimes, and you would like to see that not happen, I'm sure. Look, he apologized for it. I'm a little surprised the European Tour didn't take a little tougher action against him.
I'm surprised he's
him.
Not being suspended.
Well, yeah. I mean, you have to do something. It's a tricky balance for them because certainly they don't want to lose a big star for a tour that, let's face it, is second fiddle to the PGA Tour. But at the same time, you know, you really – it was a rough week for the European Tour.
It definitely was a rough week. Okay. Between playing in Saudi Arabia to begin with, and then the Sergio Garcia incident.
You just can't let that stuff go by. And good for Brooks, though, for actually saying something
and having an opinion and
speaking his mind and sharing that opinion and being open and honest about it. And again, this is a guy who, has been a bit polarizing over the last year. But I give him all the credit. Look, you certainly can't question his golf. One of the best players in the world, number 2 in the world at the moment, 3-time major winner, as we've mentioned, and speaking his mind on what a lot of people would view as maybe a sensitive topic or something they really wouldn't want to get into. So I give him a lot of credit for just doing that. And I would agree with him, his stance, that you just can't let that sort of stuff happen at when you're 12, never mind 40, and and a major champion. But this, again, this is a guy, Sergio, who has had a history of letting his emotions get in the way and doing some things that, you know, some regrettable things, really.
Right. And listen, I know there may be some things going on behind the scenes. I don't know that there are, but there could be. But either way, it doesn't make it okay to act that way. If there's some things going on that you need to handle off the golf course, then take some time off and handle those things and then get back at it. It's definitely not a way to represent yourself or the European tour out in public.
Or the game of golf. And thanks again for to Brooks Koepka for joining us for this. I think that was good stuff from him, really.
Yeah, he really was. He's good. He's good. So thanks. Thank you, Brooks. Appreciate it. Thank you so much for listening to the Playing Through Podcast.
Hey, it's Brooks Koepka, and you're listening to the Playing Through Podcast.